I am excited to talk to you today about this scripture passage. I believe, and this is just me, that every person needs to have their personal scripture. It becomes your canon within the canon, is how preachers talk about it. You know, that bit of scripture that sort of helps you to define the rest of scripture. Now, you might think that that would be easy to do, but it's not. And it actually came from an experience I had on a bicycle one time. And I know that all of you are very much aware that I ride bicycles, and you're like, does he have stories every week? Yes, I do. I was out in the middle outside of Chattanooga in Tennessee. It was a hot Saturday. I was out. It was like 100 degrees. It was terrible. And I'd run out of water. You carry two water bottles. They're both gone, and you're in the middle of the countryside. There is nothing around. No water, no stores, no farms, nothing. And I felt like I was going to die. It was terrible. But I pulled up to this little stop area and looked up, and here was a sign from a church. They had their scripture passage up there. And it said, and I remember to this day, cursed is the one who gives a man a drink. I was like, how did they know? I mean, you know, how did they? Of course, now their scripture passage, and I found out later, I did some inquiry, that the pastor had struggled with alcoholism for many years. And I said, well, does he preach about that often? They said, every Sunday. Every sermon is about a struggle with alcoholism. So it made sense. You know, that was his scripture. But the 15th chapter of Luke is mine. I can preach on it in a heartbeat. You know, if somebody were to come up with a gun and say, listen, preach, brother, I'd have a 30-minute sermon, wouldn't even have to break into a sweat, because this is what has defined me as a pastor. The 15th chapter, the three lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. They define my idea of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because you see, in the stories, there's not just those three things that get lost. There are those religious people. And I've grown up in religion. Everyone in my family has grown up in religion. We are, several of us are professional at it. That's how we feed our families. I have a priest for a brother. I've got musicians. I mean, we are people that are connected religiously. The problem is we're connected religiously because we tend to look at things from that perspective. Something will happen and we go to the Bible, and that's not always the best thing to do, because quite often it can make you, like the Pharisees in this story, a little self-righteous, a little judgmental. So we're going to talk about that, because it is my firm belief and my personal canon, 15th chapter of Luke, that God, above everything else, loves those that are lost. Those that are found, He loves you too. Just not many of you out there, because if you're really honest with yourself, all of us struggle with being lost. This happened, it's been a few years now, but it was in South Carolina. A man named J.R. Kimbrell, and he's 43 years old. His children, Dakota, who's 10, Jade, who is 6, and the children's mother, Tammy, they held a press conference and explained what had happened. They went out into the Congaree Swamp. Now, South Carolina, the Congaree Swamp is huge. It's not as big as the Everglades, but it's really big. And they went out on one of the trails, and they got lost. They got lost for 2.5 days. They got lost in the Congaree Swamp. Now, if you've ever been in a swamp, you know how inhospitable that can be. But you get out there, and first of all, you have this idea, no matter who you are, when you're lost in that kind of a situation, first of all, you get a little bit angry at the person that talked you into going on that trip in the first place. But then you get scared. Maybe you bent down to tie your shoestring, and the person that held on to your pack for you kept on walking a little bit, and then you lost track. Now you don't have a compass. Now you don't have a phone. Now you don't have your water. Now you don't have anything. Do you go forward? Do you go left? Do you go right? You don't know what to do, and you find yourself completely paralyzed, and the fear can be overwhelming. Well, J.R. Kimbrell, that's what they did. They just got lost. And 2.5 days later, they found them. But do you feel like you're stuck in the middle of nowhere sometimes? Because you see, the problem with us as Christians is that we're not made for this place. They drop you in the center of Flagler Street or to Canal Street, you'll know your way around there. You could find your way back to the church and you could smell it because of the casseroles that we have here. I mean, you know, that's not such a big deal. But put you out into a jungle, put you out in a place where you're disoriented, that's a whole different thing, because you are not made to be in the jungle. And you're not equipped. You don't have the stuff that you need either. No knives, no matches, no flares, no food. You aren't equipped for how you were trapped, and you don't have a clue on how to get out. Does it sound like fun? No, not me either. But before moving on, let's pause and ask, how would you feel given such circumstances? What emotions would surface in you? What thoughts would you wrestle with? Fear? Of course. Anxiety? Oh yeah, well, to say the least. But anger? Yeah, probably some of that too. But most of all, I think the greatest danger is hopelessness. No idea where to turn, no hunch what to do. Hopelessness. It can freeze you. It can freeze you in that moment. Can you sense what that could be like for just a second, how it feels to be out of your element, out of solutions, out of ideas, out of energy? Can you imagine for a moment how it feels to be out of hope? Because if you can, you can relate to a lot of people in this world. For many people, life is, well, life is a jungle. Not a jungle of trees and beasts, but wouldn't it be wonderful if it was all that simple? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our jungles could be cut with a machete and our adversaries trapped in a cage? But our jungles are comprised of thickets of failing health, broken hearts, empty wallets. Our forests are framed with hospital walls and divorce courts. We can't hear the screeching of the birds or the roaring of lions, but we do hear the complaints of neighbors and the demands of bosses. Our predators are our creditors, and the brush that surrounds us is the rush that exhausts us. It is a jungle out there. And for some, even for many, hope is in short supply. Now, hopelessness is a strange bag when you think about it. Unlike other bags, which have something in it, hopelessness has nothing in it. It is empty, and it's the emptiness that creates the burden. You unzip a hopelessness bag and examine all the little pockets, turn it upside down, shake it. The bag of hopelessness is painfully empty. It's not a very pretty picture. But maybe we can brighten it up a little bit. We've imagined the emotions of being lost. Do you think we can do the same with being rescued, to be found? What would it take to restore your hope? What would you need to re-energize your journey? What would it take? I think I can suggest three things. First of all, it would be a person. Now, not just any person. You don't need someone who's equally as confused and lost as you are. You need someone who knows the way out. And from him or her, you need, second of all, a vision. You need someone who can fill your spirits and lift you up. You need someone who can look you in the eye and say with some honesty, some authenticity, this isn't the end. Don't give up. There's a better place than this. And I can lead you there. And perhaps most important of all, you need someone who can give you directions. If you only have a person, but no renewed vision, all you have is somebody to keep you company. If you have a vision, and that person has a vision, but no direction, you have a dreamer for company. But if you have a person with direction who can take you from this place to the right place, then you have one who can restore your faith, or as David says, who restores my soul. Our shepherd majors in restoring souls and giving us hope. Whether you are a lamb who's lost on a craggy ledge or a city slicker alone in a deep jungle, everything changes when your rescuer appears. Your loneliness diminishes because now you have fellowship. Your despair decreases because now you have vision. Your confusion begins to lift because now you have direction. But it's wonderful stuff. And, well, let's be clear. You still haven't left the jungle. The trees will eclipse the sky still, and the thorns will still prick your skin. Animals lurk and rodents will run all around. The jungle is still a jungle. It hasn't changed, but you have changed. You have changed because now you have hope. And you have hope because you have met someone who can lead you out. Your shepherd knows that you were not made for the jungle. He knows you are not equipped for it, the place of hopelessness, so he has come to guide you out. He's come to restore your soul. And he's the perfect one to do so because he has the right vision. He reminds you that, quote, you are like foreigners and strangers in the world. 1 Peter 2:11. And he urges you to lift your eyes from the jungle around you to the heaven above. Don't shuffle along, eyes on the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert. to what is going on in Jesus Christ. See things from his perspective. Colossians 3:2. David said it this way in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The Lord watches over you. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. God, your rescuer, has the right vision, and he has the right direction. He has made the boldest claim in the history of mankind when he said, I am the way. People wondered if the claim was accurate. He answered their questions by cutting a path through the underbrush of sin and death and escaping alive. He's the only one who has ever done so, and he's the only one who can help you and me do the same. He has the right vision. He has seen where we are going. He has the right direction. He has cut a path for us. But most of all, he is the right person, for he is our God, who knows the jungle better than the one who made it. He knows the pitfalls of the path. He knows because he has walked it and walks it with us now. The story is told of a man on an African safari deep in the jungle, and the guide before him had a huge machete and would go into the bush in all of this large foliage and everything. Couldn't see anything around, but he's just hacking at the bushes. And the man said, after a while, he despaired a little bit. He said, where are we? Do you know where you're taking me? Where is the path? And the guide turned around at him and looked at him. He said, I am the path. We ask the same question, don't we, of God? Where are you taking me? Where is the path? And he, like the guide, doesn't tell us exactly. Oh, he can give us a hint or two, but that's all. If he did, could we even understand it? Could we even comprehend the location? Much has been said about the problems of the church in America, that it is drifting, that it is dying, according to some people, and the statistics are grim. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can ask God simple questions about where we go, not just as individual Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, but as members of this church or members of any church. Where are you taking us? Where is the path that you want us to follow? Oh, and he doesn't tell us. Oh, he may give us that hint or two, but that's all. If he did, we couldn't understand. We couldn't comprehend it. But like the traveler, we are unacquainted with this jungle. So rather than give us an answer, he gives us a far greater gift. He gives us himself. Does he remove the jungle? Nope. The vegetation is still thick. Does he get rid of the predators? Nope. There's still danger out there. Jesus doesn't give hope by changing the jungle. He restores hope by giving us himself. And he has promised to stay until the very end. Matthew 28 says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if you don't know any good news today, this is the greatest good news. It is about the love of God for those things that are lost. And I know we have all felt lost at some time in our lives, sometimes spiritually, sometimes actually lost. You know how it feels? Why is it then when someone else is lost, we're so helpless? We don't know what to do or what to say. We've been there. We know what it's like. But in church after church, the stories that I hear, not in this one, thank God. Thank God, not in this one. If you're lost in this church, you walk in, heaven help you, brother. You'll have 7 maps and 37 guides. It'll help you great. We really understand how important it is. But in so many places, it's filled with the older brother. Now, do any of you believe that this loving father who would throw a party for his lost son would never have given the older son anything? No, you can't believe that. The older son had everything. He had everything that the old man had. He had the old man's presence. He had all the possessions. Everything that he had was going to be his. But it wasn't enough for him to be warmed towards that one who was lost and has come back. I've never really been able to embrace that. I've never really understood how churches and people can resent those who are found. But it happens. And we need to be reminded that God loves those who are lost. Maybe a little more than you. I'll roll over you just a little bit and humble you just a little bit. Because it's only when you have embraced the fact that you are lost that you can really understand the tremendous depth of God's love. And then, what the feeling that comes from that, of being found, the hope that comes from that, that belongs to every one of you. Now, some of you don't need it right now. For some of you, your jungle has become a meadow. Your journey is delightful. And if that's the case with you, good. Congratulations. God bless you, because I'm sure that's why it's happened. But remember, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know where the road you are on will lead. You may be only one turn away from a cemetery, one turn away from a hospital bed or an empty house. You may be in a bend in the road that leads right to a jungle. And though you don't need your hope restored today, you may need it tomorrow. And you need to know to whom you turn. Or perhaps you do not need your hope today. You know you were not made for this place. You know you're not equipped, but you want someone to lead you out. G.K. Chesterton said, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless. For it is no virtue at all as long as matters are really hopeful. Hope is merely flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to have strength." The church needs renewed strength. It needs to, for us to reserve our judgments to become relevant and hopeful. People will see that. They will be touched by that because it is a God thing to do. You are not through yet. God is still with us as individuals and as a church. A man approached a little league game that was taking place. He watched a little bit, and as he watched, he noticed that there was a boy in the dugout that was kind of warming up a little bit. And he said, what's the score, son? And the little boy said, "Oh, it's 18 to nothing. We're behind." "Boy, I bet you're discouraged." He said, "Why should I be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet." Yeah. I mean, if you're like me today, you need a little hope. You know that you are not made for this jungle. You know that you are not equipped for it. And like the Kimblers who got lost in the swamp, banging around, you will want someone to lead you out. If so, call on the shepherd. He knows your voice. He hears you sing. "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And in just a few minutes, we're going to stand together. We're going to sing this great hymn, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." But do you believe it? Is Christ the solid rock, or is your hopelessness become so real that your foundation has washed away? Christ is the one that leads us through the jungle. He has a vision, and he's not just waiting for your voice to call to him, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let us do that. Let us pray. Our Father, we are aware that for many of us, the jungle is very, very real. But for others, we haven't seen it in a while, but we can remember it. Never, ever let us forget those who are struggling in their own personal jungles. To be open to them and to know that your love for them is so great that you would jump off of the porch and run to them and give them everything that they need, a robe, give them the sandals, kill the fatted calf and throw a party. We don't do that enough when the lost are found. But you do. Show us how to live that way. Help us to live the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.